What do you want to do with the Eureka?
What are we doing with the Eureka?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say? This is Carl Dulte, and how are you?
We can start off today by you telling me a little bit about the history of the Eureka, and then tell me a little bit about your experiences with it.
It's the largest floating wooden vessel in the world.
In the world?
Yeah, 299 feet long. It could carry the entire population of Sausalito, was said. Hi, my name is Carl Dulte. Let's talk a little bit about San Francisco Bay and the waterfront.
And I'm Natalia Gurevich. I'll be moderating this episode today.
What made him save the Eureka? It could be a backbone of public transportation on San Francisco Bay for many years and represents that era of ferry boats and steamers on San Francisco Bay. It was a commuter ferry for people who lived and worked in Marin County in San Francisco. It was donated by the railroad when it was retired to the government to take care of and put a maritime museum. Also because the Eureka lasted so long.
Mm.
And it's still here to look at. So now it's 130 years old. That's pretty good for a wooden vessel. On Sundays and on weekends in the 1920s, hiking was extremely popular in Marin County, and thousands of people hiked to Marin and took the ferry boat to Sausalito and an electric train after that to Mill Valley and Fairfax and San Anselmo. It represents a way of life that's changed a lot. In a golden age of ferry boats, it was at one time the largest ferry and passenger ferry in the world. Now, why would anybody want a boat that large to run between San Francisco and Sausalito? All the package express, including newspapers from San Francisco, mail, everything, would go by ferry boat. It has a wooden hull, 299 feet long, and an engine built to an old design called a walking beam engine, 20 RPM. Your car makes, 3,000 RPM. So 20 RPM is a very slow moving engine. It was built originally in 1890 in Tiburon. It was built by the San Francisco and North Pacific Railroad. It ran for San Francisco and North Pacific until 1907 when it was a merger of railroads in the North Bay. It became a Northwestern Pacific. And it was a ferry boat that carried freight cars and passengers. During the First World War, railroads were taken over by the government, and they used the Ukiah, as the boat's first name was, Ukiah, to carry freight cars. They apparently overloaded it and had it damaged. So the company had it rebuilt in 1923 as the ferry boat Eureka. So then after that, it was given to the National Park Service for part of the San Francisco Maritime National Historical Park, and it's at Hyde Street Pier. You can go and see it. I may like the name. I don't know.
Okay.
I always look out for it when it's around. I was on a trip with my father. We took a train from Reading to San Francisco or Oakland or something, and we got off at Oakland Pier to get on a ferry boat to go to San Francisco. And there was a Eureka again. Of course, I thought, wow, I thought it was gone. I was all delighted to see it. So when I was familiar with it, it ran between San Francisco and Sausalito when I was a little kid. And the whole process of getting on board the ferry was kind of a ritual. You went to the ferry building and you went in this, bought a ticket or something, and you went into this lounge, like a departure lounge at the airport. They'd roll a big door back and you'd walk along the ferry boat building corridor, which smelled a combination of creosote and salt water. And then you get on the boat, and it had three decks usually. The main deck where it put cars and baggage and express stuff. So the main deck there, the second deck, the cabin deck where the passenger cabins were. There were also passenger seats in the lower deck too. Usually the main deck there, the part you see in that middle part, was loaded up with mail and express. You could carry cars very seldom. They did once in a while, in an emergency when they ran out of, and they couldn't have enough passenger, didn't have enough automobile for her to take care of traffic, because they could carry a lot of cars. They had a beer and I guess wine maybe, and candy bars and magazines and stuff. The whole process of the ferry sailing had a kind of ritualness about it that was still the same essential thing as ferry boats would carry cars and passengers. And the Staten Island ferry has the same procedure, and the Seattle ferry boats and Puget Sound have the same kind of thing. The crew wore dark blue uniforms and white hats for the captains or officers. And the deckhands wore, they were dressed in black. There'll be an officer out there to make sure this is all done right. And when it's all clear, the officer will either use a radio now or sometimes just wave to the second officer in the pilot house, who tells the captain time to go, either by pressing a button or radioing them, and they take off like that. They could do it really fast. They've got it down. So every so often, they would have lifeboat drill. The crew would swing the lifeboat out and put it in the water, put it back up again, and row it around a little bit to make sure they know how to do it. There'd be this guy there with a black hat and overalls on, or a coat or something black. And he would be sitting there reading the paper, not doing anything in particular. And all the passengers got on with it, and they take off. They would ring down from the pilot house at the top there what to do, which would be full ahead. So this guy would put down his newspaper, get this big, huge steel bar, and push it forward. That would cause the valves to open and the steam engine, and it would make a big sound, like breathing. And the valve lifters would lift, and then he would pull it back down, and it would close the intake valve, the exhaust valve, causing the single cylinder, the vessel had one cylinder engine. And that would cause a big crank to turn, and that would turn the paddle wheel. This is a paddle wheel steamer. One turn of the paddle wheel would get it out of the slip, and it'd do that for a couple of minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, until at some point he would know exactly when he would turn some valve or other, and it would go out automatic. And occasionally these engines would get stuck in a, since there's a one cylinder engine, get stuck in dead center, which would go neither forward nor backward. If that happened, the boat was out of control, and they had to stop it somehow by getting in or actually forcing over the paddle wheel just past dead center. This happened rarely, but there was a big bar next to the starboard paddle wheel for them to have to do that. I went out sometimes on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, just ride the ferry boat, local, just to ride the ferry boats because I liked them. And I did that in high school or later. And when I worked for the post office down at Brinkin Annex or ferry boat building annex, I would just do it because it was round and you could do it. It didn't cost much. It was sort of fun to do. They had a San Francisco end and a Marin end. And the San Francisco end would be the part closest to the city. And there you could watch the boat engine work. After stop running on the Northwestern Pacific in 1941, they had a farewell trip on March 1st of that year. It could carry a lot of people, but my fascination with it was the engine itself. This engine was simple. It lasted a long time. This boat engine lasted from 1890 to 1957 when a part broke. And it was too old to fix, so they retired it. When that happened, it was the last vessel of that design still operating in the United States. So I was not around when it finally was retired. I was in the Army then. It's in the water at Hyde Street Pier, and although it's not rough there, the wind comes and the vessel moves around all the time. They're always moving. And I think the last dry dock that they put coppering on the outside, they put copper on the top of the wood. It's supposed to keep the worms off. San Francisco Bay has a particularly vicious kind of worm called wood.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot the name of it, but one of the byproducts of having a clean bay is the worms are more enthusiastic now than they used to be. You gotta watch it. All wooden boats have that problem with them. You have to get some kind of stuff to keep the worms off. Otherwise, it'll eat a hole in your wood.
Oh, okay.
Like dry rot in a house will do. Marine dry rot.
Okay.
There. Salt water is a very hostile environment for anything. It's good to preserve the wood. Pickle the wood. It won't rot, but the worms will go there and eat it. Fresh water hurts wooden boats because it allows gets damp. It allows dry rot to happen, which is called by fresh water. And salt water pickles it, so it doesn't have dry rot, but it allows worms to eat the bottom. All the time, when they say that a boat is launched and starts to sink right away, something is going after it. It is a vessel that's now 120 years old. It's at a point where it needs some extensive work. There's now a COVID emergency, and they're giving everybody a bunch of money for that, so that money for National Park Service is going to suffer. And hopefully we could get that work done, but right now I think that's not in the cards, but sooner or later it's going to have its hull refastened at some point. I'd like to see it be preserved so other generations can look at it and say, wow, look at that. The other wooden vessels that are around are, the lumber schooner C8 there at the Hyde Street Pier, but that's been rebuilt a lot. And the USS Constitution, old Ironsides, is wooden. But that's been carefully maintained by the government, of course.
Oh.
Not many. We had around one. Steam ferry boats were a mainstay of public transportation in the San Francisco Bay Area. I think that people should consider that. What it's like for my grandfather, my father, people, my mother, people like that, who depended on it. Get to work, to get to someplace, to go across the bay, and to have a mini adventure for only 25 cents or something. Not bad.